RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello listener, welcome back to our English program of our Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Today's edition will bring you first our news, followed by commentary, today in history, focus, headline news, and news in brief. We'll continue our segment with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. To conclude our program for today, we'll present to you our daily segment, Music Corner. Well, listener, that was our program summary for today. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia's potential to be an entrance of German investment to ASEAN. German Chancellor Angela Merkel praises Indonesian development in meeting focus on education. Now the news in detail. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that Indonesia has the potential as an entrance of German investment to Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN region, seeing the population is large enough. Angela Merkel's statement was delivered by Head of the Investment Coordinating Board Frankie Sibrani in a press release in Jakarta on Tuesday. He explained the Indonesian government encouraged German business people to make Indonesia as one of their investment goals. He also assessed some positive results of President Visit from the investment sector. Firstly, a positive view of German government to the potential of Indonesia as an investment destination for Germany. Secondly, the agreement has been reached through the signing of business cooperation between Indonesia and Germany, such as the investment cooperation of smelter sector in Sulawesi, worth $100 million, about 10 trillion rupiah. Such cooperation indicates the seriousness of German companies to invest in Indonesia. German Chancellor Angela Merkel praised Indonesian development and achievement while meeting with President Joko Widodo in the Bundeskanzleramt Berlin, Germany on Monday. Prior to the visit, President Joko Widodo said that both of them will focus on efforts to increase and strengthen partnership in vocational education in a number of sectors. Both leaders agree in their meeting to follow the vocational partnership commitment in technical meeting in May. Both countries also agreed to complete the scoping papers, which will accelerate the establishment of Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement, or CEPA. The meeting touched on trade reason and the place of soft and hard power in eradicating the threat, as well as proposal to establish steering committee to oversee the application of 2012 Indonesian-Germany Comprehensive Partnership. Germany is Indonesian third European trading partner and is seventh largest investor. Indonesian President Joko Widodo's visit to Berlin has yielded $875 million worth of business-to-business deals between Indonesian and German companies. The Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industrial Kadin said in a statement on Monday. In Berlin, a number of Indonesian companies managed to sign memorandum of understanding agreements with German companies. Sinta Wijaya Kamdani, Kadin Deputy Chairperson on International Relations Sector, said Kadin boasts a number of business delegations from various sectors such as energy, industry, agribusiness, telecommunication, maritime, and others, where industry players can gather through a business forum. Sinta also said in a statement that this is an important opportunity for Indonesia to expand new investment potential as well as advance trade cooperation under Comprehensive Economic Partnership Agreement CEPA framework with the European Union, which is targeted to be completed in coming 2 years. The Office of Coordinating Minister for Economy lauded the change in the central bank benchmark interest rate from BI rate to 7-day reverse repo rate that would expedite the process of bringing down lending rate to less than 10% a year. Bobby Hamsa Rifanus, a deputy for monetary and fiscal coordination at the office, said in Palembang, West Sumatra on Monday, that from the beginning of his office, had recommended to the monetary authority to produce a monetary instrument that could have direct effect on transaction in financial market. Bobby also said no need to worry about possible inflation after the application of new monetary instrument that would result in a lower lending rate. The Government Bank Indonesia have strengthened coordination to curb inflation in year to come. He said, adding that the government is set to keep the inflation target not higher than 4.7%. Indonesian foreign debt grew faster in February on the back of a rising long-term public debt as the government begins to expand infrastructure developments in the country. The country's total foreign debt inched 3.7% to $311.5 billion at the end of February, compared to the same period a year earlier, Bank Indonesia said in a report published on Monday. The growth was faster than January's pace of 2.2%. Foreign debt created by the public sector increased 9% to $146.9 billion in February, or 47% of the total overseas debt in the period, data from the central bank showed. Private sector foreign debt fell 0.7% to $164.6 billion compared to the same period a year earlier, accounting for 53% of the foreign debt in the period. The debts made by private companies are mainly concentrated in the financial, manufacturing, mining, and utility sector, including electricity, gas, and water. The Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin Indonesia has inked a total investment commitment worth $875 million between Indonesia and German firms in conjunction with President Joko Widodo's visit to Europe on April 17 until 22. Comprised of cooperation between German miner Prostat Kreminat and state-owned miner Amtan worth $800 million, an agreement between state-owned ship operator Penny and the major German ship operator Meyer Werft worth $40 million, an agreement between Indonesian leading manufacturer in the paper and pulp industry April Innova Semiconductors GmbH, a fabulous semiconductor manufacturer headquarters in Munich, Germany, worth $35 million, according to Kadin chairman Roshan Perkasa Roslani. The commitments were framed with a series memorandum of understanding signings. The last item, Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil is one of Indonesia's new breeds of leaders, young, energetic, and responsive and reform-minded. Since elected to the office in 2013, the highly decorated architect revived the city's All East Indies charm with well-designed public parks and inspires residents to participate in vibrant and human urban living. Mayor Ridwan said he wants to make Bandung to become the so-called smart city, or at least he said Bandung will develop the foundation of its tenure to become one in the future. Under the smart city vision, information and communication technology would help improve the citizens' need and efficiency of public services. A city can develop many apps for a citizen's smartphone to help them with simple information like city bus schedule, applying for permits to early warning system in time of disaster. The Bandung mayor also makes some progress evidenced by two Adipura awards given to cities from the central government for its outstanding cleanliness, and recently it snatched second place in the Indonesian Smart Nation Award just behind Surabaya. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. People of the land, they dance and sing, and with the beauty of nature among the colors of heaven. This is a wonderful place. I feel love. Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia. and RRI, World Service, Voice of Indonesia, present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
Listener, a commentary today entitled National Symposium Dissent in 1958. Fight tragedy, a step towards reconciliation. The 65 National Symposium entitled Dissecting the Tragedy of 1965, at Historical Approach began to be held at the Hotel Arya Duta in Central Jakarta on Monday, April 18, 2016. It was initiated by Nation's Children Gathering Forum and has taken place under support of the Coordinating Minister of Political, Legal and Security Affairs. The symposium held for 2 days on April 18 until 19 was attended by 200 people from all walks of life, including victims, the perpetrators, activists, community organization, and a number of prominent institutions in the protest of 30 September 1965 bloody incident. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, the National Symposium Team dissecting the 1965 tragedy said historical approach becomes a step to resolve the issue of the bloody events of 30 September 1965 as a whole. From the symposium, he hoped will emerge input to solve this problem. Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said the Indonesian government wants to resolve the case of gross human rights violation, among others, the 1965 tragedy. Despite the positive objective, the 1965 National Symposium has been rejected by some elements of society. One of them is Pancasila Front, which refused it for several reasons. According to Pancasila Front, the symposium was held with the end of gaining legitimacy that Indonesian Communist Party, or PKI, was the victim of human rights violation. Second, the symposium is used to pressure the government to apologize, to provide rehabilitation and compensation for former PKI members. that the symposium is suspected utilized to revive the communist ideology, which is contrary to the national ideology of Pancasila and the 1945 Constitution. Fourth, the symposium only opened up all ones of history, giving rise to new divisions. The 1965 National Symposium expected objectively explained to the public the background of September 30, 1965 movement or the Indonesian Communist Party oppression. So far, what had happened is still open to question. The New Order government issued a book titled September 30th Movement, Indonesian Communist Party Revolution, as an official document explaining the background, action, and fruit. Yet many people are doubtful the truth of this government document because it has been assessed as a subjective since it was written by the ruling the New Order government then. With the objective explanation, it affected the reconciliation efforts in the realization of case of human rights violation after the incident. Does not immediately get a challenge from a number of parties. This includes the discourse of apologizing to the victims of 1965-1966 human rights violation. The government is still reluctant to do so because it does not have certainty about the facts of history and the victims of human rights violation in the incident. It claims to prefer to focus on non-judicial reconciliation process as settlement. As for the phone, the government is waiting for the result of the symposium conclusion. As quoted by Tempo.co, the government, through Minister Luhut, said this process is no issue, but the government is aware that the past human rights issues must be resolved. Listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with April 19, 1953. Kiai Haji Wahid Hasyim dies. Abdul Wahid Hasyim died in Cimahi, West Java on April 19, 1953, at the age of 38 years because of illness. Wahid Hasyim once served as Minister of Religious Affairs in three cabinets, namely Hatta, Sukiman, and Natsir cabinets, and was a member of the Board of Inquiry Efforts to Prepare for Indonesian Independence, BPUPKI. For his services, Kiai Haji Abdul Wahid Hasyim was awarded the title of National Hero by the government. Turning to April 19, 1930, Football Association of Indonesia, PSSI, established. The Indonesian Football Association, PSSI, is the parent organization in charge of organizing sport events of football in Indonesia. PSSI, or PSSI, was formed on April 19, 1930 in Yogyakarta with the name originally Sports All Indonesia Football Association, PSRSI. As a sport organization that was born in the Dutch colonial period, the birth of PSSI or PSSI, nothing to do with the political efforts to oppose the occupation. PSSI was established by a civil engineer named Suratin Sosro Sugondo. As a young man who liked to play football, he was aware of the importance of implementing of points of decisions agreed at the meeting of the youth of Indonesia on October 28, 1928, known as the Youth Pledge. Suratin saw football as the best means to show the opposition to the Dutch government. To realize his dream, Suratin diligently held meetings with leaders of football clubs in Solo, Yogyakarta, and Bandung. From that meeting, the decision to establish the All Indonesia Football Association, PSRSI, was taken. PSRSI name are converted to a congress in Solo in 1930 to Football Association of Indonesia, PSSI, or PSSI, also stipulated Suratin as the general chairman. Last is April 19, 1972, Apollo 16 landed on the moon. Apollo 16 was the 10th manned mission in the Apollo program and the 5th that landed on the moon. This mission was launched on April 16, 1972 from the Kennedy Space Center using a rocket Saturn VSA 511 and landed on the moon on April 21, 1972. The Apollo 16 mission is a Class A and carry a lunar rover vehicle. Some 94.7 kilograms of lunar samples were brought back to Earth successfully. Activities undertaken in space and outside the vehicle in between were to record video from the outside of the vehicle and conduct tests on microbial survival. A failure of the main propulsion system in the command or surface module, Kasper, almost caused the moon landing cancelled, but then decided it was not contain high risk and Young and Juke were allowed to set foot on the moon. During the 3-day, Young and Juke explored the Descartes Islands region while mattingly rounding above in Kasper. The astronauts discovered that the area is calculated as the volcano area proved to be a region filled with rocks formed in a collision. Included in the specimens they brought back was a rock weighing 11.7 kilograms, which are the largest ever brought back to Earth by the astronauts Apollo. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is a rival service voice of New York with Focus. The theme of today's Focus is Indonesia explore joint patrols with Malaysia and the Philippines. Stay tuned in www.voi.co.id. The case of hijacking and kidnapping of 10 Indonesian sailors has not been resolved yet. However, a similar case happened again recently. This time, two Indonesian flat ships were hijacked in the waters around the border of Malaysia and the Philippines on Friday, April 16, 2016. TB Henry Tuck and Christy Birch were hijacked while they were on the way back from Cebu, the Philippines, to Tarakan, North Kalimantan. A sailor was shot, 5 survived and 4 kidnapped. To free the 14 Indonesian crew who are being held hostage by some armed groups in the southern Philippines, Indonesia has explored a territorial water security cooperation with Malaysia and the Philippines. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the concrete form of military cooperation among others is by holding joint patrols in waters where the act of piracy happened. He said in Jakarta on Sunday, on April 2017-2016, that the government has yet to know from which group those who kidnapped the 4 Indonesians come from. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said the government continues to coordinate with the Philippines to secure the release of hostages, especially 10 Indonesian citizens, whose location is already known. He explained that the recurrence of abduction issue had been reported to President Joko Widodo shortly after he flew to Europe for a working visit on Sunday. According to Vice President Yusuf Kalla, President Joko Widodo had agreed with the joint patrol plan to suppress the number of piracy in the waters. Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Luhut Binsar Panjaitan said he was worried that the trade route will be like in Somalia, where pirates taken hostage for economic reasons. Last Sunday, April 17, 2016, he said the government is still constantly working on freeing the hostages. Until now, the government is still identifying the perpetrators because it was not sure whether it was carried out by Abu Sayyaf group that has political goals. In the case of Indonesian hostages, the government sees the economic aspect is more prominent than the political aspect. Minister Luhut also said that the Indonesian military has not been able to enter the Philippines because, according to his contribution, there must be a parliamentary approval first. The Philippines Constitution does not even allow any joint military operation without permission from the parliament. On the other hand, TNI Commander General Gatot Nurmantio said the military had deployed 2 warships to the border of the Philippines to take action against the hostage of Indonesian citizens, which allegedly was done by Abu Sayyaf group. He said since Friday evening, April 15th, the military had deployed 2 warships to the border area to guard the territorial waters. He asserted the military has been preparing troops for decisive action in the sea, land, and jungle. Indonesia military will coordinate with commanders of the armed forces of the Philippines and Malaysia to jointly patrol the waters. Listener, that was Focus from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, and it was read by Rahmana.
Listener, welcome to headline of some national newspapers published today on Tuesday, April 19th, 2016. We start from Compass. The Daily in its headline writes about confiscated goods prone to be embezzled. Misappropriation and embezzlement of confiscated goods prone to occur at the authorized management agency. A number of uninventorized data from the region to center is the main cause of the difficulty of supervising the management of seized goods. Attorney General's office is currently examining the former chairman of the Special Task Force Settlement Confiscated Goods Execution, Chuk Suryo Sumpono, for alleged violations case of asset auction procedure owned by the convict of Bank Indonesia Liquidity Assistance, Hendra Raharja. Media Indonesia in its headline writes about termination of reclamation is only for a while. Uncertainty about the existence of new islands on the northern coast of Jakarta is expected to subside after the government decided termination of the reclamation project for a while. The reclamation termination in Jakarta Bay was done until the Jakarta provincial government meets all regulatory requirements. Meanwhile, Tempo in its headline writes about the government's policy triggering controversy. The Indonesian government trying to find a solution toward human rights violation cases in 1965 that were not finished, including through a national symposium dissecting tragedy of 1965, the historical approach in Jakarta on Monday. But the statement of the coordinating Minister of Politics, Legal and Security, Luhut Bin Sarpanjaitan, that the government would not apologize, sparked controversy among families of the victims and human rights activists. We conclude with Business Indonesia in its headline, writes about high rate of construction business. The performance of construction companies will accelerate this year. In the first quarter of 2016, the value of new contracts booked by four state-owned construction reached 19.79 trillion rupiah, grew to 18% from the same period of last year. That growth gives a strong signal of stretching the infrastructure development that was launched by the government. Since the beginning of the year, a number of project tenders continue to be improved to accelerate the realization. Listener, that was the headline.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. German Chancellor Angela Merkel said that Indonesia has the potential as an entrance of German investment to Association of Southeast Asian Nations ASEAN region, since the population is large enough. German Chancellor Angela Merkel praised Indonesian development and achievement while meeting with President Joko Widodo in Bundeskanzleramt, Berlin, Germany, on Monday. Indonesian President Joko Widodo's speech to Berlin has yielded $875 million worth of business-to-business deals between Indonesia and German companies, the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce and Industry of Kadin said in a statement on Monday. The Office of Coordinating Minister for Economy lauded the change in the central bank's benchmark interest rate from Bank Indonesia rate to 7-day reverse repo rate that would expedite the process of bringing down lending rate to less than 10% a year. Indonesia's foreign debt grew faster in February on the back of rising long-term public debt as the government begins to expedite infrastructure developments in the country. Chamber of Commerce and Industry Kadin Indonesia has inked a total investment commitment worth $875 million between Indonesia and German firms. Bandung Mayor Ridwan Kamil is one of Indonesia's new breed of leaders, young, energetic, responsive, and reform-minded. Since elected to the office in 2013, the hardly decorated architect revived the city's all-east Indies charm with well-designed public parks and inspired its residents to participate in vibrant and human urban living. That's news in brief for the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
please open your mind. Feel the warmth, see the smile. Friendship and love, that's what I feel. Hold my hand, stand with me. Among the colors of heaven, this is a wonderful place. I feel loved, I feel wonderful, oh wonderful in Indonesia.
Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia present Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016. Are you dreaming of enjoying the beauty of Indonesia? Make your dreams come true by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz. You may be the lucky one to visit the enchanting Indonesia for free. Answer these following questions. 1. In early 2016, Indonesia won International Tourism Awards. Could you mention the three awards? 2. Mention 3 out of 10 Indonesian priority tourism destination in 2016. 3. What is the biggest Buddhist temple in the world that we can find in Indonesia? 4. Mention 3 Indonesia's world cultural heritage which have been recognized by UNESCO. 5. Mention 3 kinds of Indonesian cuisine. 6. How do you listen to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia? 7. What is your favorite program? 8. Please tell in brief, why do you want to visit Indonesia? You can find information about the answer at www.indonesia.travel. Send your answers, photo, and copy of passport to wiquiz2016@gmail.com. wiquiz2016@gmail.com. Or to our address at Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, number 4 and 5, Central Jakarta, 10110, before May 7, 2016. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2016 is brought to you by Tourism Ministry of Republic of Indonesia and RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia.
Oh, wonderful Indonesia.
You still tune to Voice of Indonesia broadcasting daily from Jakarta on the frequencies of 9525 kHz. You can also listen to our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. If you have any suggestion or criticism, please drop us a line through Voice of Indonesia PO Box 1157 Jakarta, Indonesia, or to our email address at english@voi.co.id. Listeners, here is our next segment, Indonesian Wonder, and let's speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions in Indonesia. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we will introduce you to a bubur palopo or palopo porridge, a typical culinary of West Sumbawa, West Nusa Tenggara Province. Stay tuned. Listener, culinary tour is now growing and become a magnet for tourists. Therefore, now each region not only offers the potential of nature and culture, but also its typical culinary. Each region has its own typical culinary, which should be tested when visiting the area. For instance, if you come to West Sumbawa Regency, you must try one of the typical food, namely palopo. In Sumbawa local language, palopo means buffalo porridge. In accordance with the name, palopo is made of buffalo milk. Listener, besides containing buffalo milk, palopo porridge is also made of brown sugar, and somewhat yellow eggplant liquid as added ingredient. The making process of palopo porridge is very simple and does not require a long time. Buffalo milk is put on a container, then the yellow eggplant pieces is squeezed to get the sap. Then the eggplant sap is mixed with water. Before being put into a container of water buffalo milk, the eggplant juice is filtered. Then the dough is given a liquid brown sugar and sugar mixed and steamed to cook. Listener, once cooked, palopo porridge looks like a chocolate pudding. There are parts settle in the bottom of the bowl, but there are parts like gravy, which is brownish, white, and sweet. Palopo porridge is very delicious eaten in hot. It is usually enjoyed with a white sticky tape or fermented glutinous rice. In addition, by adding tape, the warmth palopo is getting felt in the body. West Sumbawa community believe palopo can increase the vitality of the body. The porridge is mostly hunted during the fasting month as iftar menu. People believe the porridge is able to restore severely depleted of energy during fasting. The porridge is easy to be found in West Sumbawa Regency, such as at Pasar Sore, Dalam Village, Taliwang, the capital of West Sumbawa. There are some traders who sell the traditional food with a price of 5,000 rupiah per bowl. They usually sell the palopo porridge from 3 to 10 p.m., but sometimes it has been sold out within a few hours. Was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic palopo porridge from West Sumbawa. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. A lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is Hari Kartini or in English Kartini Day. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice, you can follow after me. Beberapa tempat, beberapa tempat. In English, several places. Membaca, membaca, to read. Menyambut, menyambut, to welcome. Siapa, siapa, who. Tokoh, tokoh, figure. Wanita, perempuan, wanita or perempuan, woman. Pahlawan nasional, national hero. Pelopor, pelopor, pioneer. Kebangkitan, kebangkitan, awakening. Lahir, lahir, to be born. 21 April, 21 April, the 21st of April. 1879, 1879, 1879. Mengetahui, mengetahui, to know. Menonton, menonton, to see or to watch. Film, film, film. Menceritakan, menceritakan, to tell. Kehidupan sehari-hari, kehidupan sehari-hari. Daily life, berdasarkan sejarah, based on history. Menarik, menarik, interesting. Telepon, telepon, telepon. Next is a conversation on Hari Kartini or Kartini Day. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Nita and Ani at the office. Di beberapa tempat saya membaca menyambut Hari Kartini. Di beberapa tempat saya membaca menyambut Hari Kartini. In English, at several places I read welcoming the Kartini Day. Siapakah Kartini itu? Siapakah Kartini itu? Who is Kartini? Kartini adalah seorang tokoh wanita Jawa. Kartini adalah seorang tokoh wanita Jawa. Kartini is Indonesian woman of Javanese descendant. Dia juga adalah pahlawan nasional Indonesia. Dia juga adalah pahlawan nasional Indonesia. She is also a national hero of Indonesia. Di Indonesia, Kartini dikenal sebagai pelopor kebangkitan perempuan Indonesia. Di Indonesia, Kartini dikenal sebagai pelopor kebangkitan perempuan Indonesia. In Indonesia, Kartini is known as the pioneer of Indonesian women awakening. Kapan Kartini lahir? Kapan Kartini lahir? When was Kartini born? Kartini lahir pada tanggal 21 April 1879. Kartini lahir pada tanggal 21 April 1879. Kartini was born on April the 21st, 1879. Oleh karena itu, tanggal 21 April dikenal sebagai Hari Kartini. Oleh karena itu, tanggal 21 April dikenal sebagai Hari Kartini. That's why April the 21st is known as Kartini Day. Supaya kamu lebih mengetahui tentang Kartini, mari kita menonton film tentang Kartini. Supaya kamu lebih mengetahui tentang Kartini, mari kita menonton film tentang Kartini. To make you understand more about Kartini, let's go and see a movie about Kartini.
Film ini menceritakan tentang kehidupan sehari-hari Kartini. Film ini menceritakan tentang kehidupan sehari-hari Kartini. This film tells about Kartini's daily life, tetapi tetap berdasarkan sejarahnya. But it is still based on her history. Ayo kita nonton film Kartini. Ayo kita tonton film Kartini. Let's go and see the Kartini movie. Pasti filmnya sangat menarik. The film must be very interesting. Baiklah, nanti saya telepon kamu. Alright, I'll call you then. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson of Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio. Until next edition of Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner. Presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present you to an Indonesian male singer, Adera. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Lebih Indah by Adera. Happy listening.
Saat ku tenggelam dalam sendu, waktu pun enggan untuk berlalu.
Adera Prabu Lantip Trengginas is the full name of Adera, the singer who was born in Jakarta on January 6, 1986, released the first album in 2011 entitled Lebih Indah or More Beautiful. The song Lebih Indah tells about a man who promised to keep closed the heart to anyone, but the reality speaks different. Unexpectedly, someone coming to open the heart again and made the feeling more beautiful. Listener, the single Lebih Indah, which was uploaded by Adera through the YouTube account watched by many audiences of YouTube in Indonesia and collecting subscribers as well as hundreds of thousands of viewers. While the second single from the same album, Terlambat or Too Late, easily dominated the radio top charts in Indonesia. In December 2012, Adera held the Mega Karya concert at the Dom University of Muhammadiyah Malang in East Java, spent around 30 million rupiah. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Terlambat by Adera. Happy listening.
Andai saja waktu itu tak kutunda untuk ungkapkan isi hati kepadanya, mungkin dia jadi milikku, bahagiakan hariku. Oh, tetapi kenyataan tak begitu. Di saat ku mencoba merajut kata dan berharap semua menjadi sempurna, tiba-tiba ada yang lain yang mencuri hatinya. Hilang sudah kesempatanku dengannya. Terlambat sudah semua kali ini. Yang ku inginkan tak lagi sendiri. Bila esok hari sudah berganti, kesempatan itu terbuka kembali. Kali ini jangan sampai semua terulang kembali. Keraguan dalam hatiku harus ku buang jauh. Bila ingin mendapatkan yang terbaik, terlambat sudah semua kali ini. Jangan tunda
Listener, the song Terlambat tells about someone who was late to the clear feeling of love. The sad experience became a valuable lesson of life. Listener, Adira is the son of an Indonesian legendary musician, Abid G. Ade, who is known with the social theme songs. When asked about it, Adira said he has tried to write a social theme song but failed. The young man who likes to listen to Korean music will seriously persevering the work in the music world. After the success of his first album, in 2015, Adira released a single entitled Di Antara Kita with slightly different concept from the previous songs. Well, listener, to conclude today's segment of Music Corner, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Di Antara Kita and Bahagia Bersamamu by Adira. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Saat lelah ku mencari cinta yang tak kunjung datang, kau selalu ada di sini. Di depan mataku, tempat untukku berbagi perasaan yang tersimpan, namun tak kuduga kaulah yang kutunggu. Canda kita tetap sama, tawa kita tak berubah, namun ada yang berbeda. Ku rasakan itu dari tatapan matamu yang bicara. Ada sesuatu di antara kita.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.